Good morning. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Hope your day's off to a great start. We have much to talk about over the course of the 2 hours. We're going to talk next hour about that story you just heard on NPR News about the federal government revoking California's waiver to set its own mileage standards for automobiles. The state of California filing a lawsuit against the federal government over that. We'll get to that coming up in our next hour. Later this hour, the Orange County City of Westminster seeing some of the most contentious council meetings anywhere in our region, include charges of aiding and abetting the communist government of Vietnam. We'll hear more about those raucous council meetings coming up later this hour. But first, Democratic donor and gay rights activist Ed Buck was arrested yesterday at his North Hollywood apartment. You might recall two men fatally overdosed at Buck's place within the past couple of years. Buck's being held on charges relating to a third non-fatal overdose at his apartment a week ago. Buck's accused of injecting the 37-year-old man with methamphetamine and accused of maintaining a drug house. His arraignment could come as early as tomorrow. This raises some interesting legal issues. As you undoubtedly know, here in California, there's been a move to if not decriminalize, make drug offenses lower level offenses. There also are efforts to try and encourage in overdose cases, even drug dealers or people that are doing drugs with someone else, to be able to call 911 without being prosecuted for either providing drugs or being in a place where they're using drugs with someone else. And I'm curious how Buck's case factors into these other larger moves taking place in the criminal justice system. With us is frequent Air Talk guest, former prosecutor with the L.A. County District Attorney's Office, Dimitri Gorin. He's now a criminal defense attorney, practices on his own. Dimitri, good to have you with us again. How unusual is this case of Ed Buck's?
It's very unusual to have somebody charged with maintaining a drug house. Of course, the fact that people keep overdosing in his house and then this third gentleman almost died really put pressure on the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office to do something. And it looks like they've chosen to prosecute him for not murder and not manslaughter, for which he would be facing many years in prison for, but rather just keeping a house for where drugs are being used, and also for injecting somebody without their permission. So I think, in terms of could they have been more aggressive? Yes, they could have, but they have, I think, chosen reasonable charges to bring this man to justice for what's happening inside his house.
How do you prove someone was injected against their will? I would think that, I mean, that unless the person is being restrained, excuse me, as part of sexual activity, the person is restrained, and then next thing, you know, the person is coming at the restrained person with a, you know, syringe. But otherwise, it would be difficult, wouldn't it, to prove that you were injecting the person against his or her will?
I agree with you. I don't, you know, this witness that came to the police in the early part of September told them that it was against his will. Maybe there were some sort of restraints on him. Maybe he was already intoxicated, so he couldn't resist physically. So the government has evidence, they're saying in this complaint, that the injection was against his will, that he didn't want this shot of methamphetamine. And it's going to be his testimony in court under oath saying this was against my will, and here are the reasons why. And I'm sure as the case moves forward and we'll hear testimony in court, we'll be in a better position to understand it. But I think at first blush, I agree with you, Larry. How do you not consent to being injected with methamphetamine other than keeping your arm out? So I know it's counterintuitive.
Also with us is criminal defense attorney practicing here in Los Angeles County, Matthew Ruff. Thank you, sir, for being with us. Your thoughts about the nature of this case, which, according to Dimitri, highly unusual.
Yes. Good morning, Larry. It's always a pleasure to be part of your conversation. I agree with Dimitri to the extent that there's going to be obvious proof problems. You're going to have credibility issues from the witness in this case, given the fact that he's a known drug user, possibly drug dealer. Obviously, those things will all be brought up on the part of the criminal defense attorney who's representing Mr. Buck. But the interesting issue here is that, and I don't know the specific charges, Dimitri probably does. I haven't had an opportunity to really research that. But he's probably charged with aiding and abetting the use of drugs or narcotics, which could be just simply assisting a person in injecting. That is a crime potentially in California. That is probably the less serious. The more serious is operating the drug den or operating a house that's maintained for the purpose of the use of drugs. That's a felony, carries state prison time, and that's going to be the more significant charge in the case.
How does this factor into the state's overall move towards away from drug prosecutions? Because, the sense I've got is that, the state, because of overcrowding and because of voter initiatives, looking at not doing much in the way of prosecution of dealing drugs. And but in a case like this, does this, because there have been three overdoses, take it out of that category?
Well, of course, Larry. I mean, you've got a situation here where this individual is charged with operating a drug den or a drug house, which is essentially for the purpose of having drug users come frequent, visit, and use drugs. Any prosecutorial agency is going to go after people like that as opposed to recreational users of marijuana and that type of thing. This also involves methamphetamine, is my understanding, or higher classes of schedules of drugs. I don't think it involves anything involving marijuana, although there may have been some use of that. And clearly, the state has drawn a very dark line between marijuana and more serious drugs such as methamphetamine, which are much more dangerous. So that's really the distinction here. And you've got a situation where somebody is accused of maintaining a property where folks can come and use these dangerous drugs and narcotics. And that's where the district attorney's office is going to draw the line and step in and go after him very, very aggressively.
Dimitri, $4 million is the bail on which Buck is being held. And it would seem that, that's going to be higher than presumably someone else would have. What sort of discretion does the judge have in a case like that based on the financial resources of the defendant versus the seriousness of the crimes?
Yeah, I think the bail is excessive, quite frankly, and that would be my argument if I was representing Mr. Buck. The judge has tremendous discretion in setting the amount of bail. Again, if you consider high-profile cases in Los Angeles, Robert Blake, Phil Spector, these guys were accused of killing people, and they were out on $1 million, $1.5 million bail. Mr. Buck is not accused of murder. He's accused of crimes for which he can easily get probation for. And so to set bail that's so high, it's really punitive and really not consistent with other high-profile cases in Los Angeles. So I think there's a strong likelihood the arraignment judge will reduce the bail, but I also recognize the political aspects of the case, and there's always pressure in a high-profile case on judges and from prosecutors to keep bail high. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I'd like to see what Matt thinks, because I really think it is an excessive amount of bail for what he's charged with.
So let me just share what, and you can correct me if I have this wrong, but the bail schedule, so assuming he had less than a kilo of meth at the location, he would normally face a bail of $110,000. Even if there was a kilo more, it would be $180,000. And then the charges are maintaining a place for selling, giving, using of certain specific or classified controlled substance, battery with serious bodily injury, and sale of controlled substances. So those are the three charges pre-arraignment that are being discussed here. Matthew Ruff, your thoughts about the bail?
Well, I agree with Dimitri. I think the bail as presently set, based on what I know about the case, is unconstitutionally high. I'd like to see the affidavit in support of the bail being raised, which is what the district attorney's office would have to file. Clearly we've got a distinction, though, in this case from other cases, in that even though he's not charged specifically with the death of an individual, there's allegations that uncharged parties may have died, and that's something that the court could consider in terms of dangerousness. And really, that's going to be the focus, is whether or not Mr. Buck is poses a public safety threat or a public safety danger. That's the most significant factor that the court is going to consider. This is a man with no criminal record, and I know very little about the facts of the case. I'm sure his criminal defense attorney is going to come in and establish that this is a good individual. There may have been some conduct here which is unusual, but they're going to argue that this is a generally very good individual that deserves a break on bail, possibly even OR, and that's going to be the argument. But public safety is going to be the primary factor, and the fact that somebody has died inside that location is going to be something that's going to weigh heavy on the judge's mind.
Matthew, there have been civil rights activists who, because the first two men who died were African-American, claimed that had these not been men of color, Buck likely would have been prosecuted, that he was being protected because of his support of Democratic candidates, and also their argument that African-American lives were not valued as strongly. That sort of political pressure that activists put on this, well, first of all, what do you think of the contention they made that this would have been prosecuted typically? Secondly, do you think that their high-profile advocacy on behalf of the two men who died might have made this prosecution more likely to happen?
Well, you're talking about the homicide aspect of the case, and I don't think we've seen charges with respect to that at this point. I think any prosecutor is going to deem this to be a very difficult case to prove that Mr. Buck caused the death of these individuals, and that's going to be the homicide component. It's going to be something that's going to be considered in the background. It's going to be a backdrop of the case. He's not charged with homicide or manslaughter, murder, or anything relating to the causing the death of an individual, but certainly that's a significant factor. As far as the racial component of it, you've got a situation here where, there's been allegations made that that this is a black case, and because of that, the black lives don't matter type of a situation. I don't think that the district attorney's office is going to give that really much weight in terms of how they prosecute the case. A victim is a victim, and they're going to assess the case from the standpoint of the evidence. But look, you have to understand, Larry, that the evidence in this case is all going to be coming from potential drug users, potentially people with crimes of moral turpitude in their background, and their credibility is going to be really suspect. I don't know what the direct evidence is of any other percipient witnesses that are not drug users, drug dealers, and potentially people with high credibility problems. So that's going to be the most significant factor. And the racial component is something that's obviously going to be in the backdrop there, but it's not going to be anything that a judge is going to give much weight to.
Certainly something gotten a lot of media attention. Dimitri Gorin, how do you think that has or hasn't factored in?
Media attention always makes it more difficult for a criminal defendant. I've handled a number of high-profile cases, and sure enough, typically the bail is higher, the prosecutors take a more aggressive position in the case. So it'll make it more difficult for his lawyer to be an effective advocate and get him out on the reduced bail. On the other hand, at the end of the day, in our system of justice, the judge as well as the jury have the final say. And actually, the jury, 12 people unconnected to the case, can exonerate this gentleman. So I agree with the other guest that they're going to need independent evidence in this case. I understand from the LA Times article there were photographs found, perhaps video and other independent evidence to show that this gentleman, Mr. Buck, involved in sex acts. There are drugs being used in those sex acts, and he's preying on people that are homeless and drug addicts. And as a result, that's his sexual fetish. So, in fact, his house is a drug den. Look at all the drugs that were found. Look at the photographs. So independently, they may be able to corroborate the claims by the gentleman that almost overdosed, that he, gives these homeless guys drugs. They overdose. They party. They have sex. And, in fact, he is responsible for the violation of the health and safety code as well as the penal code. So at the end of the day, I think the evidence, despite it being a high-profile case, is going to be crucial in the case. And the fact that we have a jury trial system in the case really balances out against the pressure from the political aspect and the high-profile aspect.
Well, and I also wonder, Dimitri, if his sexual proclivities could potentially bias a jury against him.
Yes. On the other hand, he's not being charged with sex crimes. you know, and you have to be, as a defense attorney, be really clear with the jury, what the case is about. He's not being charged with forcible sex acts. He's not being charged with homicide. He's being charged with, hey, this, with things that happen behind closed doors with consensual adult participants. So even if maybe some of the jurors could find the acts unsavory, it's consensual, it's behind closed doors. And so that would be, you know, the defense contention. On the other hand, the prosecutors say, hey, enough is enough. A third guy almost died in your house as a result of your of these fantasies and these activities. And now, you know, justice, you know, you're subject to a prosecution because enough is enough. We don't want more people dying in your house.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for being with us, talking about the legal issues involved in the arrest of Ed Buck yesterday at his West Hollywood apartment. That's Dimitri Gorin, who was a deputy district attorney for many years, L.A. County, and now criminal defense attorney. Matthew Ruff, also L.A. County-based criminal defense attorney. It's Hair Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up, we'll talk about some of the wild city council meetings in the Orange County city of Westminster, where charges have been flying about aiding and abetting the communist regime of Vietnam. It's Air Talk on KPCC, back in a minute.